We often think we need a goal or a trajectory in life, and that trajectory will be a straight line. It will be linear. We go from point A to point B. And I think this not only keeps us further from whatever our goal is, but it causes a lot of pain because it's confusing. It's confusing knowing what you want to do in the first place. It's confusing figuring out why you want to do it. And it's confusing when both of those things change. It's confusing when you change. It's confusing when shit changes around you. So if we cling to this idea that everything's going to go straight, everything's going to be linear, we go from point A to point B, not only do we kind of fool ourselves, but we cause ourselves a lot of unnecessary pain, because that's not the way it is. And when we think it's going to go some way and it doesn't go that way, and there's a rift between what we're experiencing, what we're feeling, and what we're thinking, it hurts. We could feel lonely. We could feel lost. And I know you felt it when you talk to somebody and they're on one page and you're on another, and it hurts because you're not being understood. Not only are you not being understood, but you're not understanding the person in front of you. And that lack of connection makes you feel alone, makes you feel sad. It can make you feel depressed. It can make you feel anxious before you go talk to other people or try to connect with people. And imagine having that within yourself. So you're not understanding yourself. You're not understanding how you see things or what you believe or what you think or what you feel. And that feeling's like 10x what it is to just feel that with somebody else. Because, you know, at the end of the day, other people are other people, and you might not see eye to eye. And there's a couple billion people on the planet. So if you don't, you know, get along with one person or they don't understand you, there's probably someone out there that can. But no one can understand you, really. Or I should say, it doesn't matter if anyone understands you or not, if you don't understand yourself. And the hard part about understanding yourself is that you don't really get to a moment where you understand yourself. I mean, I guess there are moments, there are times when you feel like you're more or less in alignment with who you are or who you're supposed to be. But there's going to be a lot of times that you don't, especially if you're just kind of getting into that process, if you're just kind of starting to pay attention to it, if you're just becoming aware of it. But even when you feel like you're deep in that process, like you're deep on that journey, like you're getting close to it, those can be the most frustrating times, because you feel like you've done all this stuff, all this work, all this introspection and reflection and whatever into yourself, and then something happens or a couple of things happens, or you fall out of touch for a month or two, and now you're in a completely different space and you don't know how to connect with you anymore. Loneliness, feeling lost. Let's try to table those for a second. Because those are emotions, and even though we need to know that we feel those emotions, we need to be able to express them, I find it a lot more important to be able to connect with why that emotion is there instead of feeling that emotion. And I don't mean to be the stereotypical man or masculine type that's like, I don't feel my emotions and everything like that. But I got to be honest, I do think men and women, you know, fundamentally, for the most part, are going to experience their emotions differently. The journey is going to be a little bit different. But whether you're a man or you're a woman, or wherever you are on that masculine to feminine spectrum, you can kind of ask yourself to table the emotions for a second. I tend to table the emotions first. I try to come up with the reasons before I dive into my emotions. And, you know, that's been sort of an issue with my wife, because she addresses things from a different perspective. And so a lot of the times we start at opposite ends of the board and then have to do a lot of work to try to come to the center. So even though I typically don't take an emotional approach first to the question of, you know, who am I? You know, what am I feeling? What am I doing? Why am I doing it? I think it's half of the equation. You have to know what you think and you have to know what you feel. And I guess whatever way you attack it from or approach these questions from, it doesn't really matter, because you're going to end up in the middle anyways. It's going to have to balance out. But first, I like to table the emotions and just start with what I think. And I start with what I think. That's a lie. I don't start with what I think. I start with what I feel, because for me, it always ends up as a feeling, as an emotion. I feel angry. I feel sad. I feel depressed. I feel, you know, disengaged, disattached, unattached. And when I feel that, you know, that's an uncomfortable feeling. It's not like I don't want to feel those feelings, but even when I'm happy or I'm excited or I'm anxious, no matter what I'm feeling, if it's unbalanced, if it doesn't feel right, then I know I have to think about it. The feeling will pop up, and then depending on if I'm aware of if that feeling is a balanced feeling or not, if I can match it up to what I'm thinking, if I can match it up to the experiences that I'm having right now, if I feel present with these emotions, then that's good. Because you can, you know, something happens, something sad happens, you feel sad. Yeah, that's probably the normal reaction. You should probably feel sad. And in a way, feeling sad almost feels good, because you're having the correct reaction, correct response that's in line with you and what's happening and your morals and how you're thinking about it. And that's where we should be, hopefully, present, thinking, feeling, everything's matching up. But when you're not, which has been happening to me, shit, well, it happens every day, almost. Feels like lately, I've been having a lot of changes lately. We just had our second kid, healthy, happy. My wife, healthy, happy. Our toddler, healthy, happy. It's strange, because the weeks before this, I thought it was going to be a huge shift. I thought it was going to be a huge change. You know, we were getting everything ready. We were changing rooms around. We were changing the house around. Changing ourselves around, changing our routines and everything. And now that the baby is here, oh yeah, well, it feels like business as usual. And it was like I was preparing for all this chaos, this huge disruption. Excited about the baby, but, you know, let's be honest, babies are babies. They don't live your lives around you. You live your life around them. So I was thinking, okay, well, it's going to be a huge change. And the baby's home. My wife is inside on the couch watching Charlie Wilson's War with our newborn and our toddler. And they're both, well, no, actually, I think they changed it. They're watching some kids shows now. Miss Rachel, I think. I never heard of it, but my wife says that's what the kids like. So that's what she has on. And they're just in there happy as hell. I think the baby's probably sleeping. The toddler's just sipping, you know, his water. He really likes his water bottle, takes it with him everywhere. And I'm out here doing the content. Got back to work today. Took about 2 days off. Mowed the lawn. Swept the patio. Things are back to normal. And it's strange. Yeah, I'm just sitting here, like, I was expecting a little bit more action, you know, a little bit more chaos, and it's not here. Which is a good thing, you know, it's peaceful. And I know it's not going to stay peaceful. I could definitely use a little bit more sleep. My wife probably could too, but what do you say? It's not what I was expecting. And I think maybe all the work I did prior to this, all the work we did prior to this, prepared us to have the most peaceful time that we could have right now. You know what they say, you prepare for war when it's peaceful. So that when the war is here, you have peace. I don't know, that's not how the saying goes, but I'm sure you get, you prepare before shit happens, before, you know, so when shit happens, things are as good as they possibly can be. But I think there's still that silence, that peace. That silence and that peace, that's when you go to war with yourself. That's when you start asking yourself these questions. Am I on the right track? Why am I doing this? Do I still need to be doing this? I had a difficult time making this video because I didn't know what to talk about. And I don't just want to talk to a camera for no reason. So I had to connect with a reason. I think that reason is just figuring out what this feeling was, why I didn't want to make the video, why I didn't really want to make any content. It's not really because I need to be in the house with my kids. Spent plenty of time with them today. Before I came out here, we were just taking a nap on the couch. Ate lunch. And I was thinking, why make a video? What would I make a video about if I made one? And I got this ball rolling, and I think it's because there is something that I'm looking for. There is something that I want. I want this YouTube channel to be monetized. I want people to see the content. I want to build a career around content creation, and I want to make music, and I want to use the content creation as a platform for music. So I want to put music in the content eventually. Because music really means something to me. I think it's basically like the content we have here, just in music. And this isn't just a plug for the music. I actually don't have much music out. I used to have a lot of music. I created music for, I still do, I guess, close to 10 years, 11, 12 years now. And I've had hundreds of songs posted out. And I deleted it all. And it always gives me this sense of loss. I know the reason that I did it was because when I was making that music at that time period of my life, I was very misguided. And I believe strongly in, I guess what you listen to, what you hear, the media that you consume, whatever you do, it means something. And the type of music that I was creating just wasn't the type that I would listen to. Not because I didn't like the way it sounded, but I didn't like what it meant. I didn't like the deeper aspect to it. I didn't like where it came from. So I felt that if I deleted it all, I deleted all my work, I deleted all my art, I deleted all my relationships, I deleted all of my clothing, I deleted all of my personal possessions. I sold everything in my apartment and I moved to the middle of nowhere, my problems would be solved. And that's what I tried to do. And it wasn't until I got to the middle of nowhere, and I mean nowhere. I bought a piece of land for, I think, 40 acres of land in Montello, Nevada. If you don't know where Montello, Nevada is, I can't blame you because I had never heard of it either when I bought the piece of land. It's about 2 hours from Elko, Nevada. And if you haven't heard of Elko, Nevada, I don't blame you because, like, it's in the middle of nowhere as well. Elko is the middle of nowhere. And then Montello is 2 hours from the middle of nowhere. I think Elko is, I want to say, I don't know anymore, 5, 6, 7 hours, 4 hours, some from Reno, Nevada. If you don't know where Reno, Nevada is, it's like a I don't know. Basically, what I'm saying is, once I got to the middle of nowhere, I realized that, actually, I didn't realize anything. I kind of let my feelings take over, and at the same time, I was with my wife. We weren't married yet, but we were together, and that was about when COVID was happening, and they were having those riots. Not those riots, but, you know, the Black Lives Matter thing. It was COVID, and it was around the time of that Black Lives Matter stuff. And she lived in Oakland. So I went back from Novato to Oakland. I think it was New Year's, and she was saying, I think she said, at the last, they were having riots by her house or by her apartment, and they burned the building down. They burned one building down, like, in her neighborhood. I was like, well, you know, we're together. Maybe I should just head back. It's cold out here anyways. I have to build a house from scratch. You know, my girlfriend is, you know, in maybe not the safest position. She, you know, in hindsight, she was probably, you know, decently safe. She probably didn't need me there, but... No, I wanted to be there with her. And before I had moved, the one thing that I realized was that I wanted a family, I wanted a wife, I wanted kids. I did not want to live the way I was living, in some shitty apartment in some city I didn't really want to live in. Not proud of the things that I was doing, the people I was hanging around with, or the people that I was spending my time with. I was stealing. I was doing drugs, and not I wouldn't say hard drugs, just, you know, psychedelics, but probably the amount of drug use that I was, you know, partaking in, and the amount of weed I was smoking, the amount of alcohol I was drinking, all mixed together, probably just, you know, it's like every day I had to pull myself together. Man. Selling drugs, you know, the relationship with my parents was fucked up, and that's really the only relationship that's ever been steady in my life. And, you know, I was hurt. I was feeling very hurt from them, hurt by them. And so I think to express that, I try to cut them off, and not in the most mature way. So I guess I was alone, and realized the only thing I really wanted was a family. Now that I say that out loud, you know, I went about it all wrong, but the way I went about it, you know, helped me get to where I am now, where, you know, my wife and I are happily married. We got two dogs and two kids. Nice house. Modest house, but, you know, we made it ours. A lot of work put into it, a lot of sweat equity, but I love living here. Is it our final place? You know, our final home? Probably not, but I'm content. You know, and kind of looking at that moment in time when I literally had nothing but, you know, my car and like some clothes and some camping gear and some tools. And I guess my girlfriend. To now having, like, financially having a lot more, but just spiritually having a lot more. My relationships are a lot better. I mended the relationship with my parents, so now my kids have a great set of grandparents. That's who my, you know, our toddler stayed with when we went to just go have our baby at the hospital, and he doesn't cry or anything when he goes over. He runs to him, and he has the time of his life and acts like he doesn't even know us. And my wife and I both had to go through a lot, fight a lot, and get hurt a lot to create the relationships that we wanted to have with our family. We had to pick and choose what relationships were important, and when we did, we had to sit and think realistically about what it would take to make those relationships what we wanted them to be. Kind of did the same thing with the house. And in a different way, you know, we had to put the work in to get it to where it is now. We had to put the work in for our own relationship to get it to where it is now, where things are pretty stable. I mean, we don't really argue much. We have our disagreements. We have our little attitudes and moods at times. I think that just comes from, you know, being individuals. You're not always going to see eye to eye, but we have immense respect for each other and respect for our relationship. So things there are relatively peaceful, and I've realized this is the most peace I've ever had in my life, the closest I've ever felt to the life I should be living or who I should be. And this is also the most anxious I've ever felt in my life. And I think it's because I didn't have a very consistent childhood. Things were always on the go, things were always happening. The way things lined up in my childhood, there was a lot going on. And I think now that there's not, and things are consistent, and things are safe, and things are healthy, and I have people around me that I love, I feel like I'm going to lose that all the time. I do. I think that's why I get anxious all the time. I've been struggling with, I think, anxiety attacks. I just got back from the doctor the other day, and it's been 2 years trying to figure out, you know, what my chest pains are, and I just went in for tests, and my heart and my body and my organs are completely healthy, and I still feel this pain in my chest, like a heart attack happening, you know, every day or every other day. And I think it's a fear of losing what I have, losing what I worked for, losing what I gained. Getting caught in a cycle again. You know, and I think that's why I always talk about, you know, for not forgetting the past, but reflecting on the past and moving on from it. Because if you don't, it stays with you. Even when you have more or less your life on track and what you want out of life, you know, there's still things I want out of life and more track to go down, more road, more journey, probably a lot more. But even being in the best position I've ever been in, even being the best version of myself I've ever been, you know, the past still feels like it's just right next to me, like it could swallow up everything I have now. And it's ironic because here on the account we talk about all this stuff and all these ideas, and you know, I try to motivate and inspire a little bit, and I just want to let you know, like, I'm struggling with it every day. And it's not easy. And the only reason I'm talking about all this stuff is because I know how it feels to go through this stuff. And I know that it doesn't just stop, and it doesn't just end, and you don't just get through it, and you don't just forget about it, but that you have to remind yourself every day that, you know, you keep working. You keep doing what you feel you have to do to be who you are, and to do the things you want to do, and to have the relationships you want to have. And a lot of the time that requires sacrificing and kind of getting over yourself and realizing that what happened in the past could very well happen again. But it won't happen again if you're not the same person. And maybe that's the thing I'm not realizing. You know, I'm not going to repeat the same things. The cycle isn't going to keep happening because I'm a different person. And it took time, and it took a little bit of experience, and it took a lot of failure, and it took a lot of pain to become that person. And I think through that, I know I don't want to be the person that I was. And I know every step that I could take that could lead me back to the person that I was. So I watch very carefully about not doing that. And I think there will be a day when the past doesn't feel so close. Obviously, the more into the future we get, the less, you know, actually the further the past is. But I mean, mentally, like it won't be a shadow anymore. Well, I think I'm getting there now, but I think it's going to take a little bit more time. And that's why we call this channel the Jogging Turtle Channel, because slow and steady, but we move as fast as we can. Turtles can't run, you know, but if you've ever seen a turtle kind of jog, kind of, you know, move a little faster than a crawl, that's what I picture. Even though the turtle is moving slow, when it wants something, you know, when it's going for a piece of lettuce or whatever it's going for, it's giving everything it has to move as fast as it can, knowing that it's still a turtle and that it's going to live 100+ years. You know, life is long. Life feels slow sometimes, but I think if we give everything we have at every moment we can possibly give it, then we can't help but not go in the right direction. Even when that wrong direction is the right direction, or even when the right direction is the wrong direction, we learn and we keep going. The wrong direction turns into the right direction at some point if you realize that you're going the wrong direction.